in a position now where, you know, getting a shot, and I've been having a lot of time to travel for business, working out constantly, and just working on the person that I am. Cam, do you still want to play football? You know, is it still there? Man, good luck. Da, 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 da. It's two things with that. Number one, hell yeah, I want to still play football. I still get that urge to, you know, go out and perform and do something that I've been doing since I was 7 years old. But long story short, man, I'm just waiting on the right opportunity. And you're probably asking yourself, don't nobody want Cam. That's a lie. I've been getting offers. But the realization of it is, it has to be right.
I'm coming home.
That's right. You scared? You scared, Michael?
Scared of what are we scared of? What are we scared of?
Okay, you mad then. You mad.
No, I'm not mad. I'm not mad. Oh, I'm not now. No, I'm not mad.
Well, you something. You something.
I'm not mad. I'm surprised. I'm surprised. That's the word. I thought you'd get there. Surprise.
Oh, yes, surprised.
I'm surprised.
Okay. Yes. See, I shouldn't be surprised. I'm not surprised.
It's November.
But I shouldn't be surprised by you, because I should have known that you would find a way. Because the only way you could be surprised is if you hating on this right now. That's why I asked you if you're mad. That's why I asked you if you're scared.
It's week nine, dude. It's week nine. The football season is in motion. It ain't about to start. Football season. We joined the show. Hold on. We joined this show already in progress.
Right.
Meaning that I thought we were going to go the entire season without hearing or seeing Cam Newton on a football field.
Well, you thought wrong.
So yeah,
well,
I'm surprised.
You thought wrong, didn't you?
Obviously.
Thought wrong, didn't you?
But don't tell me. Yeah. Don't tell. Oh, hey, when did you think it was going to happen? This week?
I didn't know.
Last week?
Hey,
okay, right. So you're surprised
you
too.
He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. See,
okay.
No, you ain't about to ruin this for me. No, no.
Okay,
you ain't about
to ruin this for me.
Because I'm just trying to get some facts for today.
I'll give you some facts.
I'll give you some facts. The facts of the case are these, okay? Yes. I had to sit and I had to take it when Mac Jones took the job from Cam Newton for a variety of reasons. And then Cam Newton went away. And I had to sit and I had to watch that silly grin of yours every time you want to needle me and make some joke about, oh, Cam, where's Cam? Cam's out the league. Cam better get his career in media ready. Cam, you know what? We should give Cam a TV show. yeah. About, guess what Cam got? Cam got a one-year deal, or for the rest of the year, worth up to $10 million and $4.5 million guaranteed. And here's Michael Smith's guarantee. Cam about to ball out. See, I wasn't wrong, Michael. I was early. I was just early, okay? Because when you're ahead of the game, you look lost. Because, see, I thought when the Patriots signed him before last season, I told you he was the most interesting player in the league because, and like a lot of people, how could the rest of the league get Cam Newton? Well, for a number of reasons, whether it's COVID, whether it's a lack of a supporting cast, it didn't work out that way in 2020. Fast forward to 2021. You know how much I believe that Cam was due for a bounce back and that he was going to show out this season in New England, having already won people over from a personality and reputation standpoint. But Michael, you turned out to be right. Mac Jones outperformed him and he opened the door by not being vaccinated and having a snafu with the testing situation. Okay. And then had to sit and wait and wait patiently. And now here we are with the Panthers sitting at 4-5. What better
four
story could
five.
There be than
4-5.
That's us. 4-5.
That's not good.
Okay.
They started off 3-0. They were 3-0.
That's okay. Because what better storyline could there be than...
It's a great story.
Superman coming to the rescue.
I love a good story.
This team about to go on run.
I'm with you too.
With DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson finally freed from Sam Darnold and Christian McCaffrey back and that defense... This team about to go on a run, and Cam Newton is about to shut haters like you up back where it all. Because we got a new segment. We got a new segment, Michael. We are debuting a new segment on this show. The new segment on this show is called Won't He Do It? The first iteration of Won't He Do It was regarding Rasul Douglas, who got cut from Green Bay. Arizona to land with Green Bay and win the game with interception.
And today's episode
of Won't He Do It is Cam
Won't
Newton.
He do it?
Because what you, Michael Holly, what you meant for evil, God meant for my good. And here is Cam Newton going home to Carolina with 4-5 to ride to the rescue and show people like you that he is far from done. And that whole situation with New England, it had to happen that way for him to end up here. This is why his ways are not our ways. This is why his thoughts are not our thoughts. Because we could not have conceived of a scenario.
Go ahead, Isaiah.
We could not have conceived of a scenario of Cam Newton, the prodigal son, returning home to Carolina to rescue the Panthers.
You're jumping all over. I don't know who needs to hear this.
Turn to your neighbor and say, won't he do it? Turn to your neighbor and say, won't he do it? Cam was lost in the wilderness of unemployment. He was lost. And now a table has been set before him in the presence of his enemies like Michael
Holly. Oh, my goodness.
I can't even preach today. The reference is
Michael Smith. Yes, indeed. Michael Smith hit us with some Isaiah. He hit us with Luke and Psalm 23. I appreciate you.
Woo, yes, indeed. And I like that one. Now, the doors of the church are open. Doors of the church are open. Now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. But Michael Holly, you need to get yourself right. You've been hating on this man for a long time, telling me he was washed up, and now he's back and better than ever, back in Carolina. Sam Darnold injury opened the door, and here comes Cam Newton. Wow, what a story. Look at God. That's all I got to say to you.
Take your time, preacher. Take your time. You're preaching good. Now, only a couple things. A couple things I got to quibble with in your sermon. A couple things. First of all, I'm not turning to my neighbor because I'm not sure my neighbor's vaccinated. Although Cam said he got vaccinated. So, okay, we're good. Okay, that's one. The other thing is, you said you're not surprised by this. If I didn't surprise you by that, if that didn't surprise you, I got to find a way to surprise you today. I'm going to find a way to surprise you to open your eyes because now you're just too cool for school. Michael Smith saw it coming the entire time. That's why I got a little, I'm going to call BS. What did I see coming? Cam Newton returning to football.
I knew he'd be back eventually.
But not this season, right? You think he'd be back
this season? Yes. At some point, we hadn't talked about it. We hadn't argued about it just out of the blue. But at some point, yes, an opportunity had to present itself. Somebody, whether it was Washington and Ron Rivera, I didn't see Carolina. Again, I'm not that kind of a poet to be able written this story.
It's awesome.
But
it really is.
Bottom line is, you thought his career was over, Michael. You thought his career was over. I refuse to believe that.
And I'm glad it's not. Now look, from a storytelling standpoint, right?
See?
Okay.
What is it with you and Cam? What did Cam do to you? I need you to repent today.
I love him.
Which needs to change your mind. I need you to repent today, Michael.
There it is. Yes. Cam is my brother. Cam is a brother. All right. So here it is. It's great for him to return to that franchise He's the best quarterback in that franchise's history, in their brief history. The only MVP, I think, in their history, I think, unless I'm missing somebody.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so for him to go back, to the team that cut him and the regime that cut him. I mean, Tepper had just started as the owner. Matt Rhule had just started as a head coach. They moved on from Cam Newton, and now to bring him back because they need him. But, okay, so that's a good story. I like that. Just, you know, full circle. I'm trying to figure out what you're seeing, because you said you're so far ahead of everybody, you look like you're lost when you get that far ahead. So tell me what's on the road ahead.
That sounds so obnoxious when you say it. I'm going to stop saying that.
Right.
That sounds so obnoxious when you repeat it back
using
to
your
me.
Word. It's right here in my notes. It's right here in my sermon notes. He said this. So far ahead that I hear.
What can
lost.
I say? What can I
so
say?
So what's on the schedule? Because is there an alternate schedule that I haven't seen? Is there an alternate division besides the NFC South that the Carolina Panthers are now a part of? Because I see the Buccaneers up there. I see the Saints in front of them.
Falcons are fine. I'm just wondering. For crying out loud.
The Falcons have a better record than they do. They just scored 6 points. Some score 6 points. They're struggling to score. What do you see? Where's this run coming? Like how?
It's not about what I see.
When?
Michael.
Where?
It's not about
who?
What I see.
For who? For what?
Michael, I'm glad you asked that question, Michael. It's not about what I see, because as you know, my brother, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Okay? And all you need is faith that's the size of a grain of a mustard seed to move mountains, Michael. Okay? I'm trying to speak to your heart. Speak to your heart today. Okay? I have no earthly idea whether Cam Newton is any good anymore. Okay? I do know is that before he caught COVID, he looked really good in New England, all things considered. And this was with the same supporting cast or lack thereof that many, including yourself, have lamented on behalf of 2019 Tom Brady. Okay?
Right. So
with the same supporting cast.
That's right. This is correct.
2020 was a funky year for everybody, but nowhere more so than in New England. All right? I still maintain that they'd have started the season with him. Okay? I have a hard time believing, and you can correct me, because as a reporter colleague of ours is fond of saying, and this applies to you, Michael, the difference between me and you is you think I know, okay? So if you know that it was inevitable that Matt Jones was going to start.
That doesn't sound obnoxious either. Go ahead.
But I'm saying that's you, though. That's you in this instance. That's you. Because I'm not taking away from you that you turned out to be right about Matt Jones. And Matt Jones started the opener just like you said he would. And the Patriots are sitting at 5-4, all right? All's good. But the way that ended, it just never sat right with me in my spirit. Now, I knew that wasn't it for Cam Newton. And now, the league, man, listen, this much I know we could agree on. It's just better that he's back in the league. You wanted to put him out the pasture. You wanted to put him in our business. It's better that he's back in the league. His aura, you know, his Rick James aura is now back in pro football, specifically back in Carolina, and it's exciting. I mean, look, man, I've been wrong before. I've been wrong about this franchise, for crying out loud. You know how much I was breaking my arm, patting myself on the back about Sam Darnold when they were 3-0 against playing nobody, right? But Sam Darnold has completely fallen off. They were about to roll out, no disrespect, PJ Walker. They had just signed Matt Barkley, and here comes Cam Newton. You're not going to tell me this isn't perfect timing, or more specifically, God's timing, brother. It's God's timing,
brother. It's almost perfect. It's almost perfect. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you what would have made it a little more perfect and just more compelling, great drama. Who the Panthers just played? The Panthers just played the Patriots on Sunday.
If they could have
backed this up a little bit. But then again, if they had signed Cam Newton last week, he would have been on the bench because they would have gone with Sam Darnold over Cam. But I would love to see a Panthers-Patriots game. All right, now here we go. Here's the schedule. And
That don't mean nothing in this league. That don't mean nothing in this league. It would have been great if we could play this week. But that don't mean nothing in this league. Not after the weekend we just saw. What does that even mean? Here's the schedule. What does that mean?
Two of the next three games are winnable. They can get themselves together in a bye, take on a good Falcons team. Good, not great, good. And then their schedule down the stretch is brutal.
I mean, it is.
Their last four games are, that looks like, not only does that look like four losses, that looks like four beat downs in a row.
No, it looked like four beat downs when they were starting Sam Darnold. The Panthers look a lot better today. They look a lot better at 3:16 Eastern. 3:16. Look at that.
3:16.
Look a lot better at 3:16 Eastern. This morning when Cam was just visiting and then signed. So they're better. He's back in the league. He gets to, wait for it, resurrect his career in the place where it all started. You're not going to steal my joy today. You're not going to steal my joy today. You ain't stealing my joy. Let's go to break. You ain't stealing my joy. You ain't stealing my joy, brother. I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for it. Waiting for this
You
day.
Deserve it.
I've been
you,
waiting
you
for
deserve
this day.
It. This
no, he wasn't done.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Cam
you
Newton
will
was
rejoice.
For such a Cam Newton was called
you
for
will
such
rejoice
a time
to
as
be
this.
Glad at it.
Cam Newton was called for such a time
you,
as this.
You
to
know
rescue
what you may
the,
have
to speak to the dry bones that is the 4-5 Carolina Panthers. Okay?
You may have had about 22 biblical references in the first 20
Amen.
Minutes.
I ain't preaching grandson
like,
for nothing.
You know what you did? It's kind of like Kevin Durant scoring his like 30 points in 29 minutes or something like that. Whatever he did last night, a point a minute. It's amazing. It's a good job.
I knew I would get you.
I'm inspired.
Now, if I could just get you to start tithing, we'd be good.
Okay, can I get a verse on that too? Would a man rob God?
Going against Bill Belichick, this is, you know, somebody who I have much respect for. Probably talked to him before and after the game. You know, he tells me the same thing every time. He's like, I hope you enjoy today because it's not going to be much for you. You know, and that's what he's told me, and that's what he does every single time. It's just tough. He's going to coach it up, and they're going to be ready and prepared.
All right, so that was Odell Beckham from a couple of years ago on potentially his next head coach in Bill Belichick. You talk about timing and storylines. Would have been great if he'd have signed with the Patriots in time to play the Browns this coming weekend. So the latest, here's the latest when it comes to Odell Beckham, in case you missed it. Now, a signing is not imminent. First, it went from he's going to take a couple of days to the latest report that I've seen, Michael, is that he's not going to make a decision until after Sunday's games. And that bothers me and worries me and concerns me for a couple of reasons.
Why are you bothered by that? Man, you know, he's just trying to clear his head and make a good decision, right? Just trying to make a good decision. Don't want to be emotional. Don't want to be impulsive. You know, all the things or some of the things that his critics have accused him of. So he's going the opposite direction. We want him to be fast. He's like, no, I'm going to be patient, disciplined, take my time, make sure I wind up in the best situation. And, oh, by the way, not to be too cynical, Mike, but I got 7-8 teams competing for me. That's 7 or 8 payrolls. That's the opportunity. All you need is one to create a market. I got a market. So let me see if I can get the best situation paired with the best salary. I got leverage. I'm going to use it.
And who knows what kind of injuries could happen after this weekend's games that could open up other possibilities. The Ravens play tonight. Maybe they reevaluate things after they beat the brakes off the Dolphins. But here's why it concerns me. Couple of reasons. It's been a long time since either you or I broke up with anybody. But as they say, you know,
I've never broken up with anybody. Okay. I've always been dumped. Always.
Well, either way. Well, I'm sure those people can constantly tell you. I'm sure those ladies can tell you that before they did it, they were thinking about it for a long time. So as we know with Odell Beckham, long before last week, he was asking to get out of Cleveland. He wanted out of Cleveland. Last week, took a while for them to figure out the contract situation. They eventually got there, and he got his release, which gave him plenty of time to survey the landscape and figure out what he wanted to do. Not to mention, the right agent, a good agent, already has all the information necessary when it comes to making a decision. Again, a decision that did not catch him off guard. It's not like they called him in one day and said, hey, bring your playbook. Like, this didn't catch anybody off guard. And so what concerns me is that I wonder what the source of these reports, or who is the source of these reports about interest from Kansas City, Green Bay, New Orleans, New England. I know, you know, Pete Carroll said, we'll see, when it came to claiming him on waivers, and the Seahawks did not. So I wonder if there's as much of a market for him right now as we have been led to believe through media reports. That's one.
Huh, and two. Okay. All right. I like it.
I'm just spitballing. And two.
No, but it's good. It's good.
Part two is, and this goes back to the back and forth we've been having pretty much daily now since the stuff first hit the fan in Cleveland with him, is, well, what does he really want? Because in my mind, enough of your prime has been wasted in Cleveland, and particularly this year. Yeah. There's enough of your time has been wasted messing around with Cleveland's offense and Baker Mayfield and whatever the situation is, to where it's like, if I'm Odell Beckham, yeah, I get trying to make the right decision and measure 12 times and cut once, whatever the saying is. Yeah. Like, I'm good with that to an extent, but I'm ready to get back out there and play football, and I'm ready to get back out there and play football with a great proven organization with a top-notch quarterback. And so, in other words, if the Chiefs' interest is real, should have been in Kansas City yesterday. If the Packers' interest is real and they've really offered you a minimum salary contract and you want to play with Aaron Rodgers opposite Davante Adams, should have been in Green Bay yesterday. If the Saints' interest is real and you're okay with playing with Trevor Siemian but being the number one receiver down there, you should have been in New Orleans back home yesterday. So I guess my point is, it's like, what are you waiting on when you should have already known what was available to you? You should have already known what you wanted. And somebody told me a long time ago, Michael, there's no such thing as a wrong decision. You make a decision and you make it right. So I'm just like, what's the holdup? Is it really about drawing up some kind of bidding war? It's like, okay. I guess if that's what you want to do. But that would disappoint me. I want to see this man play football ASAP.
Yeah, I hear you. And I do too. But think about it this way too. This just came to me. And I don't know if this is how Odell Beckham Jr. is thinking. Now, we always know that great athletes say something to the effect, you've heard it 100 times. I chose to bet on myself, right?
Yep.
So hey, I know me, you know, I'm my toughest critic. I know my body better than anybody. I know my skills better than anybody. So I'm going to bet on myself, and I feel like that'll put me in the best position. And that makes a lot of sense. You're talking about some of the most supremely confident people in North America, professional athletes. You know, all the discipline and training and sacrifices it takes to get to that level. Yeah, I mean, they're up there. But a bet, what does a bet suggest? A bet suggests that you could win it and you could also lose it. So this is why, if I'm Odell Beckham Jr., I'm taking my time. Because if he puts himself, Mike, if he puts himself in the best situation, let's say he goes to Kansas City, a team that has been in the, what, last three AFC championship games. Been the last three AFC championship games. They've got a Super Bowl winning head coach. who's a play caller, Eric Bieniemy, offensive coordinator, Patrick Mahomes, all this stuff. If you get in that great situation and it doesn't work, okay, now, what does that mean? It's almost scary. It's scary to face what your reality is if it doesn't work. I think we've all looked at the scenarios where Odell Beckham Jr. goes to a great situation and he takes off. He takes flight and he's great and he's the old Odell and isn't New York stupid and isn't Cleveland stupid. They moved on from this guy, one of the great entertainers and wide receivers in a generation. But if it doesn't work, now what? That's scary, isn't it? So he's at a crossroads. He really is at a crossroads. He's free from Cleveland, but he's not out of the woods yet. He still has a big decision to make. It's a big decision that will determine his future.
But that's the reality after Sunday. But that's the reality after Sunday. It's the reality now. It's the reality after Sunday. It's the reality next week. You understand what I'm saying? Like, it's like, okay, so maybe he'll get... Maybe it's not about him gaining more information on Sunday. Maybe it's about seeing if other opportunities open up after Sunday's action. But to take a few more days to figure out something that, again, something that I would have long had figured out. Like, if I want out of a place, I'm not thinking now. I'm not thinking then. What am I going to do? If I want out of a place, I'm thinking long before they let me go. Or long before I depart, what my next move is. That's the definition of thinking two moves ahead. It's no different in any line of work, in any job, okay? Like, I'm not sitting up here assuming that NBC Sports and Peacock is gonna keep me forever. I'd be a damn fool.
Why not?
Because that's when you get caught off guard and then they say your services are no longer required.
Because
I've lived it. I'm just saying, like, he already knew he wanted out of Cleveland. What is there to consider now? What is there to contemplate now? Unless the market isn't what we are being led to believe it is, or what he thought it would be. That's my concern for him. And to a lesser extent, again, not to be repetitive, but I am concerned that you may be right. That it's not as simple as going to a winning organization and being part of a playoff team or potential Super Bowl team. Is that he wants the circumstances to be just so where he gets the most targets. I hope that's not what the holdup is, that somebody hasn't rolled out the red carpet or thrown a bunch of rose petals on at his feet. And now the situation isn't screaming, hey, this is the perfect place for me. And now he's getting cold feet. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I need to see this dude playing football ASAP. We've seen him get enough cardio this year in Cleveland. We have seen him be misused in
that's
Cleveland.
Well said.
We've seen the frustration. We've seen them send him home. You already had a vacation. They excused you from practice. It got so bad at the end, they sent you home until they could figure out how they were going to release you or waive you. And we still waiting? Nah, man. Come on, huh? Come on, let's go. Hey, Cam Newton got a new team. Come on, man, let's go. Let's go. Like, what are we waiting on? Let's get out. Let's get this off. Let's get this show back on the road. Odell, Team Odell, pick a team. Ain't that hard. It's the same teams in the league that were in there before. Same situation as we saw before. Ain't nothing changed but your change. Let's go to break. Unless you got anything else.
Let's do it.
We can go to
break. Let's go to break. Let's go to break, man. Let's go to break. Let's figure out this situation. Why wait? What are we waiting on?
You know what I'm saying?
I can't believe it. I still can't believe it.
Did I throw you off about I don't assume anything? I don't assume anything. Hey, man, somebody told me once upon a time, if you're always talent, you can always be replaced. Which is why, you know, I'm on some other stuff these days. So I don't assume anything. So I'm always thinking two steps ahead. Odell Beckham should have been thinking two steps ahead.
No, you threw me off with that. You threw me off with, I still can't believe the Cam stuff. The Cam, I mean, like.
Oh, because you just knew he was done.
Wow. It was like, it's the combination of Cam and your sermon. It's making me rethink my life. I'm rethinking my decision.
You know what? I appreciate that. That's what you want. You want somebody coming up to you after church saying, Pastor, that was a heck of a sermon. But just don't go back to sinning on Monday. That's all I ask.
Yeah. say, Pastor, that was for me. That was for me.
I never thought I went Grammy Awards with the Roots. I never thought I would be getting long in the tooth. My OG told me, boy, you better go and live your truth. I am a walking affirmation that imagination and focus and patience get you closer to your aspiration. And just because they give you don't mean you have to take it. My words capture greatness, sworn affidavits. Yours truly, the celestial being you stay seeing, pulling up in a fresh European. High stepping out of it, dressed to a 10. Not another got more soul, less you Korean. I've been having visions in that Turner holding his master's head. Like Yurik and Horatio and Hamlet, smacking it like a tennis racket underhanded. Send a message through the gram, the eagle has landed.
Yeah. That's what I'm, look at that. Hey. Hey. There he is, the one and only. Hey, Michael Smith. Michael Smith had to get up. The one and only Tariq Trotter, hey, also salute, known as man. Black Thought. Hey, who's colder?
Y'all ain't right
hey,
for
who's
that.
Colder? Hey, Mike, now you get the Fiend reference. Who's colder than Paul Robeson doing leading Othello? Like, hey, Thought, I got to tell you, man. Hey, I've been trolling Mike Smith. He doesn't even know. I've been putting lyrics in the feed. Like every day, I've been dropping your lines every day in conversations randomly, and it's just been over my man's head.
For he real? Didn't know you were coming. Man, I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
He didn't know.
Thought.
That's crazy. I didn't know. It was a surprise, man.
Well, you gotta understand. You gotta understand the context. And Michael Holly, I cannot believe you pulled this off. You gotta understand the context, Thought. And this drives people crazy. There are very few things about this here program that I don't know or that I don't weigh in on. I'm OCD to a fault. It's a gift and a curse.
Right.
So, do you know who they told me when we were about to interview right now? Do you know
what
they told me?
What'd they say?
They told me it was Fletcher Cox from your Eagle. They told me it was Fletcher Cox. I'm just like, I mean, this was such a coordinated effort. This is Gary. This is Michael. This is Chica. This is all of you fools kept this from me somehow. And so, when the freestyle dropped, I'm like, all right, well, maybe that's just some Philly flavor, or maybe I was like, I don't remember a Fletcher Cox reference in that freestyle. I almost memorized that freestyle. Like, what's going on here? And I'm borderline getting upset. I'm like, nah, man, we're supposed to have Eagles headlines. And Gary told us a lie in my ear right before we started about how we were starting this segment. So, man, all I got to say is thank you to everybody for pulling this off. And Thought, it is so good to see you, brother. It is so good to see you. Thank you for coming through.
It's good to see you too, man. You know, thank you guys for having me. Yeah, you know, I'm. You know, it's all that much more exciting now knowing that you had no clue. You know,
none. They kept me in the dark. They kept me in the dark, man. And you know, I don't even know where to start with you. All I know is I think I might have texted you the other day, a couple weeks back, because we started the whole show reminiscing on Illadelph Half-Life, which just celebrated 25 years, and then the other day. You know what's on Netflix now is Dave Chappelle Block Party. I was watching it with my daughter the other night. So it's just, I Mike, you're going to have to ask some questions because I'm still in awe. Right
yeah,
now.
I know. I know, man. You know what? Thanks for joining for real. This is such a pleasure for us. It's always good to see you, man. It's always good to vibe with you. I'll start with this. Let me just brag about you for a second. And tell people, like, we've seen your shows many times, and I always tell people, I'm just amazed by the generosity that you've shown to us. I mean, like, one of my highlights is that show you did in Rhode Island, and after the show, you said, hey, why don't you come back and check out, here's a picture of it, you're showing us, you're having us listening to, there's a great picture. You're having us listening to Streams of Thought. I think at that point, it may have been Volume 2. So I wonder, I guess my question is, you know, I know some musicians look at it different ways. Some artists look at it different ways. Some say, hey, you can listen to it when it comes out. Others like you say, hey, check it out. When did you get to that point where you said, hey, I'll be open with it? And, you know,
I've always used. The Roots, you know, as a collective, we've always used the diverse populace as our sort of litmus test. You know, should we continue? Should we not? You know, I mean, should we go on tour? Should we not? Should we, you know, maintain ourselves as a band that uses live instrumentation or not? And whenever we needed answers to those questions and beyond, we would sort of take it to the streets. So it's the same sort of deal. It's the idea of a focus group, but I guess a not so focus group, a group that, you know, represents just a broad sort of swath of the community or of society or of whatever demo. You know what I mean? So I've been big on that, and we've never surrounded ourselves with yes men. You know what I mean? So I'm not like, if I play something for you, if I show you something that is still a work in progress, it's in hopes that I'm gonna get your sincere, unfiltered reaction or advice or whatever your critique may be. So
yeah, we definitely feel that. You talk about the live instrumentation,
it's not like I don't do that for everybody. I do that for people who have a point of a solid point of reference. You know what I mean? Like folks like yourselves who are knowledgeable enough of the catalog. You know what I mean? Like to speak to whether or not whatever is I'm thinking about coming out with next is going to rise to, you know, where we've already set the bar. It's not like I'm just showing it, you know, showing my music to people because they like hip hop, you know what I'm saying? Between you and Jamel and all the support that you guys have lent us over the years. And I feel like you've definitely helped to keep the Roots brand alive. So I feel like it's family at this point, bro.
You know what, Thought, I'm wondering this too. You know, I saw a New York Times Magazine piece on Questlove, and he essentially said, you know, he was raised by Soul Train, like a lot of us.
Yeah.
And so Soul Train, you can just remember his earliest memories, just sitting down and just looking at Soul Train episodes. Right. And it makes sense, because of the breadth and depth of his musical knowledge. And I'm wondering what it is for you, because you all are able to go so many places, whether it's Guns N' Roses in your concerts, whether it's Earth, Wind & Fire, Biggie. War. I mean, where would you say that love, that eclecticism really, really got started for you?
For me, it started at home and just, you know, in being exposed to, just a wide range of musical influences. You know what I mean? Be it the music that my grandmother listened to, a lot of gospel, classic gospel, contemporary gospel, stuff like that, or stuff that my mother was listening to at the time. Kool & the Gang and Stevie Wonder and Ohio Players and, you know, George Benson and all that sort of stuff. But there was also just music just around the house, like lots of 8-track cassette tapes of, doo-wop compilations and Elvis Presley, the greatest hits of Elvis or James Brown or whatever. So I soaked a lot of that up too. And it made me want to, It made me become a performer at an early age. You know, I was very performative. I'd run out and sing, you know, anything. I mean, but I guess with the first music that I made myself or that I imitated, it wasn't hip hop. It was doo-wop and old school, like classic rock, classic R&B, which is right on par with Amir's, upbringing. He essentially grew up in a doo-wop band. His father's a doo-wop legend. You know, so I think that's one of the things that sort of that resonated with both of us and made us click, I think.
Thought, you know this story because you were there, and I've told it so many times. Hell, we've talked about it on the show. You know, I'm fond of telling people about the time when I left the conversation with Melissa Ford in the lobby of the W Hotel in New Orleans to run up and say hello to you. And that's when we first met. And then, you know, I wouldn't
have left that conversation now. Like,
I know. I've second guessed that a few times.
I'd have hollered at you from afar. Hey, yo, Mike.
right. But I told you that, you know, I missed Organics and I missed Do You Want More? And I got on watching the box and watching what they do. I'm like, wait, what are these dudes doing in this video? And what they do turned me on to Illadelph Half-Life. And honestly, man, it's so cool. And I think Michael and I told you this, so much of our bond was built listening to The Roots, starting with Illadelph Half-Life. And so 25 years later, and we celebrated it on the air that day. 25 years later, man, what does that album mean to you and your journey as a group or even as an individual? That album in particular, Illadelph.
You know, Illadelph represents our arrival. You know, lots of people considered Organics our first album, but it wasn't. It was essentially our demo. And, you know, just the world got to hear our demo, you know. Do You Want More was our, you know, entree into the game, but we were still trying to, we were still finding ourselves and defining ourselves and our sound and, you know, what that would be and how we would, you know, sonic, just how we would fit into the soundscape of you know, the mid-90s and everything that was going on the radio and, you know, some cars that would ride by. How is our music going to, you know, like fit as a piece in that puzzle? We were figuring all that out with our first record. And I feel like by Illadelph, you know, we had sort of, you know, we were onto something. And I feel like that, you know, that represents it marks our arrival, you know? And it's when I think our peers began to realize, or our peers began to recognize us as more of a force to be reckoned with, you know?
And for you personally, I'm sorry, Mike. I was just going to ask.
No, go ahead.
For you personally, and we reference, you know, the Streams of Thought volumes. Love 7 years on Audible.
Thank you.
You know, you're obviously producing content, whether it's films. You know, obviously a big part of Between the World and Me with Ta-Nehisi Coates. What is it that's allowed you, or still allows you, to continue to push boundaries and challenge yourself creatively? Because it's almost as though, you know, you've never plateaued, or you're never satisfied. You're constantly trying to find new horizons and new mountains to climb, or just new places to take yourself as a creator, whether it's in your rhymes and in your music, or just as a storyteller.
Well, I mean, I think that's it in a nutshell. I'm a storyteller, and you know, I'm not content in only working in one medium. You know what I mean? I'm good. I could stick with something for a while, but I mean, after a while, you just want to, you know, dabble in something else to tell a story, a different story, or sometimes the same story in a different way. You know, so being able to cross disciplines and, you know, just, you know, go from music to film to, you know, composing to, you know, doing something, you know, theatrical to something in a digital space, to, that just keeps it, you know, engaging for me. And it keeps me able to maintain multiple irons in the fire without, you know, being bored. You know what I'm saying? So that's a huge part of it. And then the other part I would say is just the competition between me and the brotherhood that is The Roots. I'm inspired when I see my bandmates, you know, like reach outside of their comfort zones and, you know, challenge themselves to do other things and then achieve an accomplishment. It's dope. And it just lets me know that, you know, if I invest the time and energy and sacrifice into it, that I'm able to, you know, to do some of those same things. So I think that's it. It's two prongs.
You know, Mike is right. The Roots have, in a lot of ways, been the soundtrack for our relationship. You know, at times, you know, Mike, we would go like a couple weeks without talking, and all of a sudden, I'd drop him a text. And then sometimes the text would be like, hey, hey, I'm half Master Killer, half you, Master Killer. You know what I mean? And that's it. That's it. And he knows. He's like, okay. And then he'll write back something else. He just knows that I'm on it like that.
Man,
and I'm just wondering, that. Because there's so many lines of yours, lines, but also information. I mean, I found myself looking up Kerry James Marshall based off of something you rhymed about. I'm like, okay, I got to know more about this. Who's that?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he's a dope painter. Okay, now I'm looking at his work. I wonder, that's just for me, who has no aspirations. I promise you, no aspirations of being an MC. No aspirations, all right? But I wonder what you tell these young MCs when they come to you and you have your school of thought. What are you telling them beyond the obvious of, hey, you know, control, you know, breath control, whatever? What are you telling them about content and kind of defining their world?
I tell them, you know, the most important thing, the most valuable thing that you possess as an artist is your art. You know, as a creative, you know, thinker, is your ideas, your intellectual property. And, you know, a lesson that I've learned, you know, probably the hard way over, you know, many years, and, you know, just dealing with, you know, the dynamics of many a relationship. Is that you always want to maintain ownership of what it is that you create, you know? I feel like, you know, we're those of us who are, you know, cut from the graduating class of the early 90s, midnight, like we come from a certain era where it was almost like there was no way into the industry. There was no way to get what you create or to get your music or your art or whatever it is that you want to put out there to the people without the help of that, you know, middleman of industry. But, you know, we live in a time, you know, thankfully, where that's no longer the case. So you don't have to relinquish that ownership. And that's what I tell young people, you know, it's people who, you know, artists who have, you know, gone on to do great things and who've gone on to iconic megastardom status without signing a record deal. You know what I'm saying? So I try and articulate that to young people that I'm working with, that, you know, getting a deal and, you know, aligning yourself with anyone just for the sake of aligning yourself with them, be it an individual or, you know, an entity, a company, whatever, you know, don't rush to do that. You know what I mean?
You know, along those lines. So, yeah, nothing does my heart prouder than when I see featuring Black Thought. Because then when I'm listening, I got to see if that person can hang with you. I'm like, okay, you on a track with Black Thought. Let's see what you bring into the table, because I know what Thought bring into the table. So I'm late to this particular party, but I just got on, but probably like in the last year. Michael knows what I'm talking about, because around 2020, I got hip to Freddie Gibbs and Alfredo, which opened me up to the Griselda gang, which opened me up to Benny the Butcher. So I'm listening to Benny the Butcher, Plugs I Met, and I'm like, oh, he got Thought on Plugs I Met. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So I say all that to say, what goes into your decision-making when it comes to who you want to collaborate with, who you feel like you can share a track with? Like, how do you decide who's worthy? Or who you're impressed enough by that you want to be on with them?
I make a decision to collaborate with an artist based on first and foremost, our relationship. How do I know you? You know what I mean? You know, I'm not big on just being, you know, artists who are just thrown together without already having something in common. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, if I'm going to work with someone, 9 times out of 10, it's out of a mutual respect and admiration. And, you know, we feel like there's something that we have to offer one another that is going to, you know, build the other person up as an artist and sort of add on, you know, give them something to take away from the experience. So, I mean, like that's in the case of, you know, I mean, take a Benny the Butcher, for example. The first person that I corresponded with from that Griselda set was Conway. And he and I corresponded for quite some time. And, you know, I thought, you know, he and I would probably wind up working together first. But Benny just hit me like, yo, I'm saying, like, I heard you, you know what I mean, rocking my man Conway. I got this joint, you know what I mean? Like, we messing with you, you messing with us. Like, it's this joint you might want to jump on. And he sent me this beat, and I had it for close to a year before, before I thought of anything, you know, to go on. And I hit him, and I was like, yo, is it too late? And he said, yo, I'm turning my album, within the next few days or so. So I was able to, you know, record it. That was the last song contributed for that album. And I feel like it was it helped to define his record and his. I feel like that record, The Plugs I Met, is Benny the Butcher's Illa Dove Half Life. Like that was his arrival. You know what I mean? Oftentimes that's the way it works. And it's already understood that it's somebody that we rock with one another. But then in other cases, it's somebody that I just want to lend a helping hand to. You know what I mean? I want to reach out, you know what I mean, to artists and sort of introduce them to maybe an audience that's not already up on them. But it works both ways. A prime example would be I did the song with Benny. Then I saw Benny was on tour doing some dates with this artist named Russ. And I didn't know who Russ was. I did some research and found out who Russ was. And I was like, yo, this kid is dope. I sent him a DM, told him that I liked the song that he had done with Benny, and he was like, yo, I'm a huge fan. I got this other thing, this, you know, some Ninth Wonder joint. Like, if it'd be dope if I could get you on it. Benny's on it already. So it'd be me, you, and Benny. So that, you know, evolved into this other song where it's now me, Russ, and Benny on the record. And then Russ and I have worked together on another joint, you know, since then. But yeah, the day that that Russ song came out for Spotify for me was like one of my biggest days of that year. And I did a bunch of stuff last year. But it was, you know, it was people who were Russ's fans that weren't necessarily up on, you know, featuring Black Thought. You know what I'm saying? So wow. Yeah, it works. It works both ways. Yep.
That's dope.
Hey, and we want to be respectful of your time, so I only got one more, and then I'll give it to Mike. We'll let you go. But by the way, okay. I almost got myself caught last week because I put in the feed. I said, if I'm a walking institution, I'm an HBCU. So Mike called me after the show.
I was like, what was that about?
He said, yo.
Right. I was like,
why you had that thought line in there? I said, oh, man, you know, I was just listening to it.
We've been keeping this going for a while, man.
So he almost called me. Yeah, I was like, no, I can't believe this dude called me out on it. You know, I said, hey, man, I knew we wouldn't get to it.
I don't miss anything. I don't miss anything.
That's funny. But no, that's dope, man.
But you are, and you say, I'm going to use the word artist intentionally because you're talking about musicians. I think about what you're doing with Black No More. I know you're going to be a off Broadway in December, all the way through February. Yep, yep. Is there a writer, a playwright? Is there a painter? Is there, somebody outside of music that you would like to collaborate with as you evolve as an artist?
You know, I mean, I'm open to, just collab. I want to continue to collaborate with, prestige, legacy, level, artists and creatives, on one hand, you know what I mean? Like, I want to continue to collaborate with the artists that I'm only able to collaborate with because I've made it this far, so to speak, you know what I'm saying? But then I also want to continue to keep my ear to the street and just, to interact with emerging artists in emerging creative spaces and, not be closed-minded, you know what I mean? I feel like the way to bring about the most change and to have the most impact and, the best business sense is to, just to maintain multiple irons in the fire. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I try to do.
Listen, man, as you know from hosting us in your trailer, we could talk to you all day. But we go let you go. And only thing I got to say, and I want one last quick question on the way out. I promise quick. Both of us have said for years, you're the greatest to ever do it. And Michael alluded to it earlier. And I told you that. Michael alluded to it earlier. It's because you got to constantly rewind and listen to your verses over and over again, because not only do you command and manipulate the language, but you're teaching. And I've always wondered, when do you, for all the stuff you're writing and creating, when do you find so much time to read? So my last question is, what are you reading right now? that you would recommend? Because it's like, this dude's a freaking encyclopedia. Yeah, we should be reading. Like, what are you reading?
Like, hook us up.
I feel like, man, I need to, this is an opportunity for me to sort of plug something too. I don't know. Do I have a book on me? I'm not even going to lie. Like, what I'm actually reading right now and what I've referred to, what I've been, you know, just opening any random page of recently and sort of like putting my finger on it and then saying, I'm going to let this word or this idea inspire, you know, something within my process is Richard Wright, the man who lived underground, which is, you know,
beautiful.
Yeah. Lots of people consider this one of Wright's most brilliantly crafted things. So yeah, this is what I literally have in my pocket right now to read. And then I have another book that somebody just gave me to take home to my daughter. It is called Blackout. It's even love stories can glow when the lights go. It's, you know, I have a 15-year-old daughter, so this thing right here by it's a collection of short stories by you know, black and brown women.
You know, so mine's 15 too, so that's perfect. That's perfect. I'll grab that for my daughter as well. Listen, man, we're gonna let you roll. Hey, you used Boston around Christmas, right? The usual?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, we usually do that run. I hope I'm going to be able to do it because I'm in. I'll be in rehearsals for Black No More, but you know, I haven't heard that it's not happening. So, you know, hopefully we'll be up there. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, I
know
we were in
Boston over the summer.
Yeah, we missed you. I was out of the country, but listen. Thank you, brother. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for the time, and we'll talk to you soon. Hopefully, see you soon.
I hope so. I hope so, man. Love. Yeah, y'all brother,
appreciate
be safe,
brother.
Man. Have a good rest of the day.
You too. Appreciate you.
Yeah, I think I will. Bro, what the hell did y'all? What did y'all just do? I can't. I need a break. I can't. Oh my god! I can't believe it. I'm throwed off as we used to say in New Orleans. I'm throwed off now.
Can I ask you one more question on Mac? How do you want this to be handled? I mean, do you feel like you deserve an apology? Do you feel like he deserves a fine? What do you feel like needs to, like, what do you think should happen?
It would be nice to have an apology, Mac. It would be nice to have an apology, but, I mean, it's not going to happen. And, I mean, however the NFL handles it, it's on them. I would just like to play them again. And I wish all my fellow DN brothers happy hunting.
Hey, that's real talk. I'm sitting here looking. Ooh. I still haven't seen a fine announce for Mac Jones. So we got to go to our resident quarterback here. Chris Sims, was Mac Jones's tackle on Brian Burns dirty? And why is your answer yes? Because I know you never did anything like that before.
Well, no, I'm going to say no. I'm sorry. My answer is no on this one. Yeah. I mean, again, first off, like, all right, so there's a few things here. I mean, again, it's not perfect. I know it's not traditional to what we see. He got crushed and blindsided by Brian Burns, who's a freak of nature stud athlete. He gets crushed into the ground, so you take two shots. You're discombobulated. Like he said, he didn't know who had the ball. He's trying to grab him by his arm, all right? Listen, again, and I'm not trying to call Brian Burns some liar or anything, but anytime I've watched it on film or I watch it, I don't think Mac Jones twisted his leg to make him do a 360 flip. I mean, Mac Jones has three muscles on his body. He's a walking meme. Like, I don't think he's that strong to make him do a pirouette in the air. Like, I think Brian Burns tried to twist himself out of this tackle to go get the ball, why Mac Jones is holding him.
Oh.
So, like, I don't... I don't see him grabbing it and twisting it. Like, it looks like to me more that Brian Burns twisted it himself trying to get out of the tackle.
Oh.
And again, yeah, it's not traditional, but I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, I think Mac Jones is dirty. And nor am I going to agree with, like, the apology thing. That I'm not. I see running backs get tackled. They get tackled like this a lot. Running backs get.
That's
so
right.
Are we going to start apologizing to them when they get tackled? Is Brian Burns going to apologize to the next quarterback he hits in the head? Like, come on. That's where I just can't get behind it.
Well, yeah, maybe I'm not feeling the apology either.
Well,
don't apologize.
Okay, fine with the apology part. And maybe Mac Jones is not dirty, but I'm sorry. That was dirty. And if anybody else does it, we'd say it was dirty. This is an anti-quarterback stance. But what I will say to you, though, Chris Sims, is this. As many protections are in place for quarterbacks, you can't sniff a quarterback. You can't hit a defensive quarterback. You can't go low on a quarterback. And there are never any excuses that are acceptable. Nobody wants to hear, or he got pushed into the quarterback, or, you know, he dove and continued to try to, he lunged at the quarterback to try to make a play. It's don't touch the quarterback. Don't do anything that would compromise the quarterback's health. So when you see a quarterback do something blatant, like grab an ankle, and yeah, he twisted, Chris, it just doesn't sit well with the rest of us. So, okay, if you don't think he should apologize, how do you feel about Happy Hunting? That's fair game, then.
That's fine.
Get after him.
That's fine. All right, cool. Listen, I got no problem. That's football. I mean, rubbing is racing. Okay. I'm all for that. And listen, Michael Smith, I'm with you. I mean, nobody, if you listen to my podcast or what I say on Pro Football Talk with Flory all the time, I'm always complaining about the protection the quarterbacks get. It's ludicrous. They've gone beyond what the rules were really instated into the game for, like forcible blows to the head and that. Now it's just like, oh, his pinky touched his cheek 15 yards. I don't care that your pass protection was bad and your pinky touched him. Whoa. So I hate all that crap. I'm with you there. You know, do I love that play? You know, no, of course I don't. He should have been penalized for holding or something there, certainly. And he might get fined. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's debatable whether he really, like, twisted it. I don't know. I think he's just holding on for dear life, whether he thinks he's got the ball or he's going after the ball. He was doing that. And because it's the quarterback, I think it becomes more of a hot-button topic. And I certainly don't – I have a lot of respect for Brian Burns, the player. He is underrated kind of superstar on the edge, and I don't want him beating the crap out of me if I see him.
I'll tell you what, Brother Sims, what I have no tolerance for, today is Thursday. Somebody say Thursday. Today's Thursday. He gave his quote yesterday, Wednesday. Game was on Sunday. Get off that dead horse. Let's move on. You lost 24-6. It was an insignificant play in the game. He went out of the game. He came back in. He played most of the game. Then he left in the fourth quarter. So, like, this team is full of excuse makers.
I know.
You know, I don't want to hear that. But this is what I do want to know. I do want to know, because I think the Carolina Panthers, they need a lot of help. And maybe help has come. Help has come today in the person of Cameron Newton. Do you think Cam Newton has anything left to elevate the Carolina Panthers? Because Michael Smith here, your brother, thinks they're about to go on a run.
I mean, I would love to see it. They have some pieces on their football team that are elite about their football team. Cam Newton is not as bad as the way it looked after he got COVID with the New England Patriots. He's not that bad. I mean, again, let's think about it. Before he got COVID, he was doing some pretty damn special things, throwing the football and running the football. The one thing Cam Newton will do for them, you know, more than anything, when he does get out there and learns the offense and gets used to throwing to these guys a little bit, is, you know, there'll be a little bit more belief, I think, in the team. I mean, I don't know how that locker room the last few weeks can really get behind Sam Darnold. I'm sure they were like, yeah, we believe in you, Sam. And they're like looking out of their corner of the eye like, man, he's been doing some dumb crap lately. I don't know if I do really believe in him, right? So I do think he's got an incredible presence. He's got an incredible leadership and attitude that can kind of rise a team up and their energy up weekly in practice and into the game. And because he's such a stud and what he's done in the league, yeah, guys on that team are going to walk in the field and go, man, Cam's our quarterback. We got a chance today. There's still that effect. I mean, he's still going to be able to run the ball to a degree. I think this is what I worry about. The only thing I worry about is this, and Sam Darnold's not been good. I've seen enough, right? That I would say is over for sure in Carolina. But I do, and I think I told you guys this last week or the week before, I do worry about their offense. Like, the league has caught on to Joe Brady's offense big time.
Interesting. Mm.
There's just too many games where I look at it and I go, the defenders are running the routes for the wide receivers. They know what's coming. Last week that happened as well. So that's my concern, but I do think there is something positive about having Cam there for sure.
Let's go to tonight's game. And guy that, you know, has taken Cam Newton and he's Cam Newton 2.0 in some respects, and that's Lamar Jackson, who is rewriting history as we speak right now. I want to make sure I get a couple of nuggets right about him. No other player in NFL history had 2,000 passing yards and 600 rushing yards over any 8-game span the way that Lamar Jackson has to this point.
Wow.
And he's on pace for an NFL record 5,969 offensive yards, rushing and passing this season. That's Madden-like, man. That's mind-blowing. What are you seeing in terms of the maturation and evolution of Lamar Jackson this season? Because right now, I know Brady's the betting favorite and he's got the great numbers, but given what Lamar has done, especially in close situations, I'd have to make him my MVP favorite at the halfway point.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, like, listen, you said it. I think him, Brady, Kyler Murray, Matthew Stafford. I know Matthew Stafford, it wasn't good last week, so that's fresh in our memory. But to me, like, those four stand out and are in a class of their own as far as the MVP conversation right now. And, like, Lamar Jackson, to answer your question directly, like, I saw some of this last year. I was trying to say, like, listen, yeah, I know they can't, you know, just light up the scoreboard passing the ball every game, but I didn't think the offense was necessarily delivering for him either. You know, they've expanded the passing offense a little bit, and now he's got a few more weapons to throw the ball to as well. But I think the biggest thing, and something I've broken down on my podcast kind of early in the year that I noticed right away, more than anything, and what's made him, you know, his decision-making has just continued to go the right direction. But I think the thing that's made the biggest jump this year is his consistency and accuracy with big throws. You know, again, he's great at throwing sidearm this, sidearm that. But here, look at his base always to throw the ball. That's the biggest thing I've seen more than anything this year. He really keeps his base wide and underneath his shoulders. And that has led to less movement, like that throw right there. It leads to less movement. Before, he used to get his feet together and almost pitch off the pitcher's mound a little bit. So now his release is quicker, there's less moving parts, and it allows him to hit the bullseye, you know, at a way more consistent rate. And then, you know, I know I'm not saying anything new to you guys, but man, good thing that guy didn't play wide receiver. And also, like, good thing, like, I want to, you know, first off, I think if Mahomes or Josh Allen or Brady or Rodgers had all these fourth quarter comebacks, man, everybody would be kissing their ass left and right. Oh my gosh, Word. It's so magical. But for Word. Some reason with Lamar Jackson, like, it doesn't get the same attention. And I want to go, like, why? He's the whole team right now.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. They're not good on defense. Their running game is one of the top in football, but not because of, like, the running backs and the traditional aspect. Yeah. It's him. It's him scrambling. Yeah. It's the quarterback design runs. I mean, he's baller supreme. And now they got a Rashad Bateman starting to show up. If they can get Sammy Watkins healthy, like, yeah. I just can't say enough about the guy, man. He was put on earth to play quarterback, and here he is transforming this team into another dimension with his right arm.
Brother Sims, I'm about to hit you with the easiest question. It's the final question for me. Easiest question I've hit you with on this show. Very simple. Who's the best team in the NFL? Best team in the NFL is?
It's Arizona Cardinals. It is. It's hard. Like, I've last few weeks, I know I always say they're in the conversation. They're top three. I've kind of gone with the Rams as being the top team in the NFL. But, after last week, you know, with what the Rams did and Stafford and how he played and letting the Tennessee Titans off the hook without Derrick Henry, I can't put them in front of Arizona. I still think, you know, I think them, the Bucks, and Arizona are, you know, the three top-tier teams in football, in my opinion, still. It's hard to fight against the Arizona. You know, I mean, Arizona beat the Rams straight up. Last week, what they do without Kyler Murray. Cliff Kingsbury's offense, it just has way more answers this year. They have a physical element in the run game. He has more schemes and passing concepts than years before. They're not afraid to get into two tight end sets. It's not always, you know, Texas Tech, Red Raider, shootout offensive stuff. And then, you know, they're super talented on both sides of the ball. And Vance Joseph does a great job and does a lot of creative things on the defensive side of the ball. So it's hard for me not to say Arizona. And their one loss is a game to Green Bay, I know.
It's right
but listen,
there. They were right
if
there.
They play again, I'm taking Arizona. I mean, they messed that game up. They were more talented than Green Bay. They just messed it up. So I go with them. Mm-hmm. I hope that was the easy answer you were looking for.
That's a great answer.
We appreciate you. We're going to let you go. We got 20 seconds left on the way out. Need you to put your scout cap on. I know it's not that time of year, but I know you watched the Carolina skill guys a lot last year. So you got to see a lot of Sam Howell. Sam Howell, Kenny Pickett tonight. Who are you more excited to see and who are you higher on? Have you watched any of them yet?
A little bit. Yeah, I'm not a big Kenny Pickett fan. I could say that. First off, he wears a glove on his throwing hand, which is concerning to me. That means you can't throw it that good, all right? And then Howell, good, but he impresses me more than Kenny Pickett. I'll still say the guy that has impressed me the most, just watch the look test, is the Ole Miss quarterback. To me, when the ball comes out of his hands, it's a little different than the rest of the group. Yeah. But I have liked what I've seen from Howell, for sure.
Oh, you know I'm always thinking draft. Chris Sims, we appreciate you, brother.
I like it.
See you guys. Peace out. I was supposed to be in the middle.
Oh, that's right.
We forgot. Oh, next week.
All right. See you guys. Be good.
I just want to get this straight. He is not a great player. He is a great story, though. Not a great player, great story. So just for the stories, for my stories, you know, like your folks used to say, I don't know, your grandma or probably auntie,
yeah,
got to watch my stories.
Young and Restless. Yeah, Young and Restless.
Young and Restless. All my children. We're all my children household. Anyway, Odell Beckham is great in the stories.
Dude, all I gotta say is, happy day. On the same day that my man Cam Newton returns to Carolina, much to the chagrin of Michael Holly to see Cam Newton back in the league, on the same day,
go ahead, Cam.
My man Odell Beckham, my guy, home team, Odell Beckham goes to the Los Angeles Rams. Oh my God, I know it must hurt, Michael. I know it must hurt to watch the rich get richer.
I'm winning.
To watch Matthew Stafford have another target with which to prove people like you wrong. Oh, it always comes back to me and you, Michael. The Rams.
You know why I'm winning?
Get Odell Beckham. The rich get richer, and I love it. I'm here for it.
You know why I'm winning? Because we had Black Thought on the show today. We had Black Thought on Brother from Another, and you didn't know it was happening. So you can't say anything about Cam Newton, Odell Beckham Jr.,
anything. Oh, yes, I can. Because he's about to flourish.
You can say it. You can say it, but I'm just feeling good that we were able to pull it off. We pulled it off.
Yes.
And he was on the show. That's great.
That was a great moment.
As far as OBJ is concerned, I stick with it. Even I didn't know he was going to Los Angeles. Even better. It makes sense that he would go to the Rams. I think the Rams have what he's looking for first and foremost. And it's not winning games. First and foremost, he is an entertainer. He wants to be in a big market, the second biggest market in the country, second or third. I think it's second still. He wants to be involved. If I were on one of those shows that I love watching, whether it's like Law and Order or Luther, shout out Idris Elba, I would say, wait a minute. It's a great show. And crazy. But I would say, hold on. So all this thing was orchestrated, right, Odell? It's all orchestrated that you had Odell Beckham Sr. post this thing. LeBron weighs in very smoothly on social media. Hey, Odell, free Odell. He's still wide receiver one. And then he goes out to where LeBron James is. And who's weighing in immediately? LeBron had that in drafts. Hey, Odell, welcome, my brother. That was all the plan. The plan.
Oh, my God.
The plan. It ain't got nothing to do with football.
Stop.
Okay.
For the record,
he had an opportunity. He had an opportunity to roll with Russell Wilson. He had an opportunity to roll with Aaron Rodgers. Had an opportunity to roll with Patrick Mahomes, and he picked a guy with zero playoff wins. It ain't about football.
You know what, Michael? You can always count on the hater in you to reveal himself before it's all said and done. Your takes are rooted in hatred. Hate, at least you're consistent. I'll give you that. All of them rooted in hatred. It all comes back to you wanting to be right.
It's all love.
But man, you are so consistently wrong. Oh my God.
I'll tell you what you are right about.
It was a great story. What? Watching this thing play out on social media was fascinating. In case you missed it, okay? This went from initially a Schefter tweet saying Odell Beckham is a Ram. Okay? So that's where it starts, right? But then Kim Jones says he's on the fence between the Rams and the Packers, according to Odell. That's what he told Kim Jones, right? So the Rams post that they've agreed to terms, and they sent out the notification, but then apparently the page couldn't be found, and two sources told Jonathan Rodrigue that Odell Beckham had finalized with the Rams, and it had come down to the Rams and the Packers, and the Rams posted it on their website a few minutes ago, but removed it, obviously. But Schefter kept going with it. Josina Anderson chimed in with, he's on the fence with his decision as of that minute. And our boy Charles Robinson capped it off very well by saying, this all feels very on brand. So there you go, Michael, with the entertainer point. But Schefter kept with it, and there's Von Miller on his stories saying, let's chase this ring. And finally, Odell put the word out through Kim Jones that, hey, it's the Rams. Okay, so it became confirmed, and the Rams put it out there. As you mentioned, LeBron said, welcome to L.A., the whole thing. It was just madness, all right? So this is why you're full of shit, okay? and I mean that in the nicest way possible, okay? To sit up here and say it's not about football. Michael, he joins just because one of the best teams in the league, and before they got curb stomped by Tennessee, a lot of people had them as the best team in the league. Just because one of the best teams in the league happens to be located in Los Angeles.
I knew it. It just happened to be in LA. I call it the best of both worlds.
I call it the best of both worlds. Okay? And because the Rams have built an organization and an infrastructure that is attractive to players like Von Miller and now Odell Beckham, hey, you play the hand you're dealt. And they're in Los Angeles, and the entertainment capital of the world happens to be a great recruiter, as opposed to, no disrespect, Green Bay, Wisconsin. I told you can go to New Orleans in the offseason. And I know what Matthew Stafford has not done so far in his career, spent in Detroit. But that ain't got nothing to do with what he's doing this year and what he's now capable of doing with Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, a.k.a. White Jerry Rice, okay?
Yep.
Van Jefferson, and now Odell Beckham? Are you kidding me with Sean McVay calling plays?
Okay.
I don't care. Yeah. That is all football. With a defense on the other side that's got Jalen Ramsey, Von Miller, and Aaron Donald, and Leonard Floyd, all football reasons make this the right call. The only reason more people weren't talking about the Rams is because they didn't seem to have a glaring need for a guy who is wide receiver two or three. You know, Robert Woods is pretty damn good. So for a third wide receiver, nobody thought the Rams needed as much as the Packers needed somebody opposite Adams, or the Chiefs needed somebody opposite Hill, or the Saints needed somebody. This was a brilliant move on the part of Odell Beckham to join an already explosive offense that is destined to go deep in the playoffs. You have a defense, and now he does not have to be the guy. Odell Beckham going to be feasting. Okay. He's going to be feasting on number two or three cornerbacks single coverage. Oh, my God. With Sean McVay calling up? Hey, please.
Let me ask you.
This is brilliant. Stop hating.
It sounds good.
You just don't want Matthew Stafford to succeed. You don't want to see Matthew Stafford be great. Your dumb dome team take is at risk. You don't want to see a dome team succeed. That's what this is about. This is a phenomenal move for all parties involved.
Let me ask you.
SoFi Stadium's a dome.
Let me ask you this.
SoFi Stadium's a dome.
This sounds good.
Did I miss something?
No.
It's not a dome?
No, that's a gym.
What is
it? I thought it was too. Jim Trotter says, not exactly. Not exactly.
Okay.
He says it's got a covering. It's got a covering.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
He didn't say it was like a.
You just don't want Matthew Stafford to be great, and that's about to blow up in your face, thanks to this. It's
all right, let me just go
what
over.
A day.
Let me just go over a couple
great
things.
Great move, OBJ.
Let me go over a couple of things. And, you know, and the staff, we got a great staff. I don't want, you know, Wyatt, Kaylee, I don't want to put you guys on the spot. If this is possible, you know, before the end of the show, let's do it. If not, you know, okay, we'll do it tomorrow. All these things you say about the LA Rams and all the great names they have on defense, can we find what their rankings are? I know what their names are. I know what their names are.
It hasn't been great.
So I don't want to hear about the names.
It hasn't been great.
I don't hear about the names. No, stop. No,
it hasn't been great.
No.
You're right.
Okay.
It hasn't been great.
So,
you're right. You're right about that.
No, we're going to find
Morris
out.
First year.
We're going to find
they're
out.
They're not the
don't
number one defense they were last year.
Don't try to soften it.
No, I'm saying you're right.
I don't want your excuses.
No, I'm saying that's a good point.
But I want specifics. Not, it ain't been great. I want to see it. And I want you to see it. I want you to bleep and acknowledge it. I want you to acknowledge it. Okay.
Off the top of my head, going into the game on Sunday night.
Middle of the pack.
I believe 21st, I believe they were in yards per game
Even
or something
worse.
To that effect. Okay.
All right.
Points per game, they were better. I remember hearing it. They have not been dominant, right. Not like last year. But
Von Miller.
They don't have. Well, okay, that's why you add a Von Miller.
We got
that's
Aaron
why you add
Donald.
A Von Miller.
We got
this
Jalen
is so
Ramsey.
On brand. You want to talk about on brand? This is on brand for Les Snead. Les Snead, I said this right. Said this when they traded the 2 and 3 for Von Miller. Les Snead, general managers, as if every day is 4th and short. They are going for it. They are leaving nothing to chance. And they're not sitting up here saying, yeah, we're all set with White Rice and Robert Woods and Van Jefferson at wide receiver. We're going to add Odell freaking Beckham Jr. That's how a team that's serious about winning does it.
Yeah,
and just like when LeBron went to L.A., a lot of people were like, oh, LeBron, he's just going out there to make movies. He's just going out there to do Space Jam. He's just going out there to be an entertainer. He ain't serious about basketball. And he won a championship. You can do both. Odell may be an entertainer, and he may be attracted to L.A., and he may want to kick it with LeBron. But you know what? When he'll be kicking with LeBron? After February, because he'll be busy.
And here's the other thing. Can I just say this? You know, I'm always interested in people. They tell on themselves. I'm always interested in people.
Did I tell on
who,
myself?
Yeah. You one of them.
What did I say?
I'm always interested in people. When you criticize what they're doing, they turn around and say, you hating. No, I'm just telling you the truth, and it's got to be hating. So am I hating on? Okay. Did I make up? Did I create Matthew Stafford's postseason record? Did I create it? Am I lying? So I'm lying. Okay.
That's not what you said.
So Matthew Stafford, what's his postseason record? It's not my fault. It's not my fault that he's got the postseason record that he does. And so Odell Beckham Jr., what's his postseason record? I didn't create that. So I'm just looking at what exists. And I'm calling it out. And when you call out what exists,
my record speaks
and people
for
don't
itself.
Want to hear it, they say you
How
hate.
How many fellas have you
I
called?
I ain't hating.
Okay. No, it's not. Okay, you're right. As I used to say once upon a time, numbers never lie. I know what Matthew Stafford was in Detroit. I know what Odell Beckham hasn't been in New York or Cleveland. And that's a championship player. But what I do know is, from the beginning, the reason I say you're hating, Michael, is because I get to sit up here every day across from you. There's somebody right now that's going to watch, they're seeing this right now, they're going to watch this video, and they don't remember every conversation that we've had since the Rams traded 2 ones and Jared Goff to Detroit for Matthew Stafford. You ripped that trade on some asinine stuff about dome teams. Matthew Stafford, and you got some precious attachment to draft picks. I was there. I got the receipts. You ripped that trade. So you never liked the Stafford trade the whole time. You thought Jared Goff got a raw deal and that Sean McVay is overrated and didn't appreciate what Jared Goff did to get to a Super Bowl defeat.
That ain't what you said. I did rip the trade. I did say I was rooting for Jared Goff and that Sean McVay was ungrateful, But I never said he was overrated. I never said McVay was overrated. Okay. I never said that because the numbers don't back that
up. I might be confusing him with Kyle Shanahan. That's my bad. I'm confusing him with Kyle Shanahan.
I did say that.
So, could spin it forward. You've never given this team the respect it deserves. And then on top of that, the last week, you have been talking about how overrated, at this point, Odell Beckham is. That he's not a difference maker.
He's a good player.
Okay,
he's
fine.
He's a good football player.
You said he was in the top 60 wide receivers. You said he was in the top 60 wide receivers.
Maybe not. And top 60 might be going to – that's too generous. That's too generous.
Okay.
He might be.
Oh, there we go.
So what I'm doing is I'm taking everything you said. And
top 100.
That's pretty good, right?
No. There are a lot of receivers in football. Not in my book. Okay. So now, there you go. Thank you. So now I'm taking everything you said about all the parties involved, whether it's Matthew Stafford, the Rams as an organization, and Odell Beckham, and I've used all this evidence. Just like you did, I'm using all this evidence from you to say that you're just mad, you hating, because you don't want to see them flourish. And I'm here to tell you, they about to flourish in L.A.
Okay.
They about we're going to see them at the Super Bowl. We going to see them. I still got the Bucks.
There it is.
I still got the Bucks.
That's what I want.
I'm not coming off my pick. I'm not coming off my pick, but I wouldn't mind seeing them just so you have to eat it all Super Bowl week. I picked the Bucks in the preseason. I'm not gonna jump off that
hey,
now.
Hey man, like we
I'm not gonna jump off that now.
We was about to go to the amusement park and then the folks said, well, if we can, if we could pull it off. Hey, we're going to the amusement park. We'll see. I wouldn't
we'll
mind
see.
It.
As my dad used to say. We'll see. No, it's like I picked the Bucks, but I'm rooting for the Rams. Why, Michael? You know the answer. Why am I rooting for the Rams? Because I'm rooting against you. Because I want you to have to eat your words.
I will eat my words. But see, both things can be true. You got to know this. I'm going to be entertained. I'm going to be entertained regardless. So I can't eat my words and still have a good time. So that's what the hating thing doesn't really match up. Because I will say, oh, I got that wrong. Pie in the face. All that stuff. Go ahead. Roast me. Drag me. All that. But I'm still going to have fun watching the Super Bowl, whether the Rams are in it, whether the Packers are in it, or the Buccaneers taking on the Tennessee.
We can agree on this, though. Okay, listen. All shade aside. All Southern California entertainment capital. This the fix was in, and if it was, well played. With LeBron, he just wanted to be near LeBron. All that kind of stuff aside.
Yeah,
you could acknowledge that. Even though he didn't pick the Packers, even though he didn't pick the Chiefs, even he didn't go home in New Orleans, or didn't go wherever, this is a good fit because he doesn't have to be the man. And like I've been saying all along, the last thing he needs right now is to be the man. He needs to be real, be righteous, and be relevant.
Ooh, nice.
And have his resume and his reputation restored by being a part of a winning organization.
Give me another R.
I wanted the Ravens. Oh, I know, right? I wanted the Ravens for that reason, but I'll take the Rams.
You say it's a good fit because he doesn't need to be the man. My question is, does he need to be the man? Does he say that to himself? Like on the outside looking in,
you're
right.
He wouldn't have gone there.
If I'm just looking at it.
He wouldn't have gone
unless he thinks he is. Unless he thinks he is. Like, oh, come on. Because you can do it this way. You know how some people are. Wait a minute. If Cooper Kupp can do that in that office, well, yeah.
See? Stop projecting.
If he can do that.
Oh, see.
I'm not projecting. I'm wondering. I asked a question.
You know why you're wondering?
Does he need it?
That's a hater spirit talking. So you taking that hater spirit and you're projecting that onto Odell. If Cooper Kupp could do that, then that's what you're doing. Repent, Michael.
And when people don't want to be held.
That's the theme of today's show.
I'm going to start using that. I'm going to use that at home. When I don't want to be held accountable. honey, you hating. You hating. No,
that's canceled. No, Michael. That's canceled. When you don't want to be held accountable, you're being canceled. No, it's not. You got to find something else. Yes. Yeah.
It's
not
hating. Cancel. Cancel.
Odell in L.A. Oh, what a happy day. Cam's home and Odell's in L.A. I love it. I love the fit.
I can't wait to see how it turns out. It's good. They both won the press conferences. We got two press conference wins. Unfortunately, there are games to play now. There are games to play. Let's see how the games look.
I'm ready for those moments. I believe every shot that I take has a chance to go in, and you have to have that mentality if you want to be successful at this level with other elite athletes. So, I was just ready. I was ready for it. And plus, there was, you know, some hecklers during the game talking to me, so I had to. It was their fault, really. It was their fault.
Well, we saw you turn from our vantage point. We couldn't hear.
Yeah, that was to them. Yeah, they had a sign. They had a sign up that said, LeBron won Kuzma his ring. And, you know, I said, you know, without LeBron, Cleveland wouldn't be So, you know, they chose violence, and I just kept going. So, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Cool. Just to be clear, when you say they didn't touch your...
Not violence, but, you know, they were just talking too much.
The fact that they had to be explained is hilarious. Hey, Vinny, the last time Vinny Goodwill needs no introduction around these parts, but Yahoo Sports, NBA insider and expert. I seem to recall the last time I asked you about whether or not the Washington Wizards were an illusion, you chose violence, if you will, and recited the Wizards' history. Look, man, they're number one in the Eastern Conference at 8-3. Those acquisitions from L.A., Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, the addition of Spencer Dinwiddie, like, they – come on, man. You can't sit up here and tell me that they're not legit and they have to be taken seriously in this conference. Don't tell me that again, not after what you've seen since last week.
Historically, the Washington Wizards have been as reliable as Lauryn Hill's attendance at her own concert. Buy at your own peril, right? But with new coach Wes Unseld Jr., and you're right, they have the Laker rejects, the Kyle Kuzmas, Montrezl Harrell, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and Spencer Dinwiddie. Mm-hmm. I'm actually writing a piece right now that's calling them one of the three biggest surprises in the NBA. I don't know if it's sustainable to the point that they're going to stay at the top of the Eastern Conference. Milwaukee's going to get right. Brooklyn is getting themselves right. Who knows about Philadelphia and Miami? They're going to be a tough out. Now, Michael Smith, you are about the same age and the same general age as me. The Washington Wizards, Bullets, whatever you want to call them, ain't been worth a good damn since we've been alive. So if you're going to say to me on Al Gore's internet, on Al Green's phone lines, that I'm going to expect the Washington Wizards to be a 50-win team when I've never seen that in all of my days. Since playoff expansion, they've never won 50 games. Playoff expansion happened over 36 years ago.
What does that have to do with this current iteration?
No. Here's the thing.
I'm from New Orleans. I know futility.
Exactly. I believe in ish when ish happens. That's what I'm saying.
Vinny.
Okay.
Vinny. You got to understand, Michael Smith doesn't believe in these generational curses in any sport. And I'm with you. It's the Wizards. It's in the walls with the Wizards. It's in the walls with the Cincinnati Bengals. He don't believe it, though. He don't believe it. So you can't help him. You can't help him. Now, let's talk about this Eastern Conference, though, Vinny, because as you mentioned, hey, the Bucks a lot of teams, really. Brooklyn, the Nets, like a lot of teams are going to get right. But let's just assume for a second that Kyrie doesn't come back to Brooklyn. As you look at this Eastern Conference and all these worthy teams, who impresses you the most? If you look at it, hey, this is the best team. This is going to be the best team in a month. Who's it going to be?
If we're saying a month, if we're not saying to this day right now, if we're saying a month, I can't believe I'm sitting up somewhere and telling y'all this. I'm impressed by the Philadelphia 76ers with all the things that they've had to deal with. Yes, I know the Lord shall strike me down because I am not a fan of anything that they do or how they kick it. I like Doc Rivers. I don't know if I like anything else they got going. But they have performed like a team without distractions. It's like Joel Embiid, yes, he's out with COVID, and that's going to be a problem. but Tobias Harris has been out. We all know about the Ben Simmons drama, but they have played extremely well. Do I think they'll be the best team in 6 months or 7 months? Of course not. That's probably going to be the Brooklyn Nets, even without Kyrie Irving. When you have the best player in basketball and you have 70% of what James Harden used to be, I think that's still the Brooklyn Nets with maybe a little bit more grit, a little bit of a different iteration than what they've wanted to be. Yeah. But for in the honor of Gary Carter, you know, the great producer there, the Washington Wizards, our team can't get right. That's what they've been. That's what they are. So I will say that the teams that I'm most impressed with are the Chicago Bulls, and I will be impressed with the Brooklyn Nets a month from now.
Western Conference, the flip side of that Wizards trade with the Lakers. It feels like overtime is right where the Lakers want the opposition, at least so far. You know, they're barely above water. I think they've got 3 overtime wins already this year, but the Blazers destroyed them, and they've responded with a couple of wins since then. I know they're still figuring it out. They don't have all their pieces, but what are you seeing from the Lakers that encourages you or not? Maybe you're still just as discouraged as you were the last time we talked to you, that encouraged you that they might be able to figure this out. And in the meantime, kind of, you know, hold down the fort and figure it out in the long run.
I mean, you tell me if you want to depend on Russell Westbrook taking jumpers to win you games. I mean, go ahead and win on the diet like that, because I've seen those movies plenty of times, and those movies usually don't wind up with happy endings. But it worked for them last night. And Anthony Davis seems like a guy who seems to be comfortable playing center, who seems to be comfortable sort of taking the matchups on a night-to-night basis and being aggressive and being a tone setter. That, to me, is more important than whatever Russell Westbrook's role is going to be or even LeBron James's health. Because as we know, I know Michael Holly is a member of LeBron Hive. He's probably a member of Scottie Pippen Hive and everything else that says that LeBron is the greatest player walking and everything else. He was until yesterday, right?
Yeah. Yesterday was the last straw for him. Yeah.
This guy, Scott, is getting to me now.
The last particle of your head went off, and now you are completely bald with Scottie Pippen. I got you. No, I think Anthony Davis taking the mantle of being the best player on this team and forming this team in his image is the only way that this Lakers team can win. Not to your boy Scottie. I wish I had my Jordan 10s up here so I could have them and do that famous Scottie moment where he, you know, pointed to the Jordan logo and said, Michael, come back.
Yeah.
And now he's sitting up somewhere saying, you know, man, you know, I was the greatest of all time. Y'all need to help me help y'all. Help me help y'all, please. Can make this make sense to me.
I don't know if this team is the greatest of all time that I'm about to ask you about, but I'm jumping on the bandwagon. I'm not leaving. I'm going to stay here all season long. I know, Mike Smith, you called a long time ago. The Golden State Warriors, oh, they're cold, man. They cold, Vinny. I love watching them. I love it. Can we just anoint them right now? Can we anoint them as a team to beat in the league? Can we just say it and get this over with?
Anoint them with the light skin holy water? No. You can keep that to yourself, right? But they've been extremely impressive.
Just one.
Yes,
show.
Extremely just one. Impressive. I know, Michael. I know. I'm sorry.
It was Andrew Wiggins last night.
It was Andrew Wiggins last night. No, you know what it is? It impresses me is the fact that this team is winning without Steph having to score 50. And now I know he scored 50 against Atlanta, but he didn't need to score 50, you know, for them to win. And they've added an element of athleticism in Gary Payton II that they didn't even have when they were winning championships. They're deep. Yep. They're doing this without Klay Thompson and those rookies that they've invested in. They've had an easy schedule. I will grant you guys that. And it's home late. And they've had 8 home games. They've only lost 1 game, which was to Memphis. The question I have for them is, when the games get late and you need someone to create his own shot, who besides Stephen Curry, and I don't even know if Steph is even a supreme shot creator as much as he just is a shot maker. Who on that team is going to be creating shots when defenses really get tight? But to this point, at 10-1 with a Western Conference that does not look good at all, sure, I can go and hang out in San Francisco in June during the finals. I got no problem with that.
All right, man. Hey, before we let you go, and you are on pace, you're scoring 40 points in 30 minutes yourself right now. I remember we had you on and you were so disappointed in Cam Newton and how it played out in New England. I came in, I caught the Holy Ghost today, so happy to see Cam Newton return to Carolina. Vinny, could you please tell Michael Holly that Cam Newton is about to show out with the supporting cast that he got in Carolina? I know you with me on that, right?
I'm with you when you're right, but I don't know if you're right. I don't know if you're right here. Like, right. I don't know.
Fine.
I don't know what Cam Newton has left.
You ain't a believer either. I don't need you to be a believer.
I got enough faith for all three left.
Hey, you know why? You know why we're not believers? It's the preacher's fault. You ain't preaching good enough. You preach good enough, I give it up. I walk down the aisle. I walk down the aisle and go to the altar. Yes, yes. All right. You ain't preaching.
I'll get back in the lab.
He's preaching like a brown-skinned man. See, that's not a light-skinned joke. You need to get more light-skinned in you. Like, you know what I mean? Get a little more light-skinned. Get a little more sweat coming down the bead.
Bye,
you know what I mean? We need to feel it.
Bye, bro, man. Go back to your apartment.
All right, Mike, let me just get this out the way real quick. Then I want to talk to you about Black Thought. Like, you know, we got that graphic. We didn't get that graphic about the Rams, your precious Rams going to the Super Bowl, kind of, sort of. You weren't even hardcore on that take. Here's the stats.
Super team.
Of their defensive rankings. We got it right there. You see it on the screen?
Oh, okay.
You see it on the screen? Here's the stats. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, 12.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Okay. 12. Unbelievable. Unbelievable defense. They're not unbelievable.
That's your big
Joker? Who is unbelievable?
Huh? That's your big Joker? That graphic is your big Joker?
Hey, I'm just telling you.
That's a jack of spades. So what? Okay, so it's 12 yards per game around.
You hyping up? You hyping up something that ain't worth hyping. But I'll tell you what is worth hyping. Black Thought was on Brother from Another today,
yeah.
Baby.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, man. Just give me some, as Thought would say. I'm trying to drop some jewelries. Okay, hey, give me some jewelries from this, man. Like, what? Give me some thoughts, some observations, some feelings. Where you at?
I'll just go feel appreciative. Appreciative. I mean, I'm making it about me because you were in on it. So I'm thankful for you, Gary, Chica, the whole group that y'all surprised. It was a hell of a surprise. Like, you know, it's not my birthday. It ain't Christmas yet. Like, I just feel I'm blessed. And I'm like, wow, that was so cool. Like, I know the regards you hold it, man. So it's not just me. But just to listen, I could listen to that man talk all day. He means the world to me.
Yeah, man.
That's the second time somebody surprised me with him. And both times have been right on the money, right? I almost started crying because I was touched.
All right, we want to see tears. Next time, we want to see tears for all this effort. Man, we doing all this subterfuge in the group chat, talking about people who ain't going to be on the show.
I mean, shout out to Fletcher Cox, wherever you at. Appreciate you, bro.